Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
Well, it's been a very interesting week, hasn't it? Yes, indeed, and we'll talk about that in just a minute. But first of all, let me say welcome to Home and Family Finance. I am your host, Paul Barry, here on the Radio America Network. We have a very interesting show today. If you have listened to this show at all over the past 7 or 8 or 9 years, you know that we don't cotton to politics. It's not what we do, only as it relates to financial literacy or issues that affect our pocketbook. Well, I'm reminded of Tip O'Neill, who once said, and I'll paraphrase it, but it's something like this, that all politics is local. And if I may, all politics is also financial. The people that we elect and send to Washington or send to our state capitals or send to wherever we send have a tremendous impact on what happens to our pocketbooks, because they make decisions about how money is spent and how things cost and what we're going to do and what we're going to fund or not fund. And so here we find ourselves in a most interesting week, to say the least. Last Tuesday, it was what some think the determining factor, the third Super Tuesday, if you will. It was a Tuesday and some decisions by voters that, contrary to what the Republican Party might want, the voters said, here's what we're going to do. And despite the protestations and all of these other things to the number one Republican candidate, Donald Trump, he won a majority of seats. While he's not the confirmed leader, it looks like it's going to be very difficult to stop him. Well, we never tell you who to vote or not vote for, and that's not what we're going to do today. But what we are going to do is we're going to talk about the psyche of this. How does it impact you? What concerns should you have as it relates to the decisions that you make about your home, your family, and your finances? And to do that, we've invited someone who is most qualified. She is a practicing psychiatrist. She's been on this program before. She's a friend, and let me throw that up front. I've known her for many years. Lise Van Susteren, Dr. Van Susteren practices psychiatry in the greater Washington area. Her resume is long and varied and distinguished. She is the mother of 3 children. She has, in her history, run for office. She may talk about that. But what we're really talking about today is we're not telling you who you should vote for, either Republican or Democrat. But what we are telling you is to take a look at how you feel about what has been one of the most interesting campaigns, both Democrat and Republican, in our history. For most of us, this is highly unusual. The tone and the tenor, all of that has occurred here, and it has to have some impact on all of us. But what is that impact? Well, who better to tell us than a psychiatrist who has lived through the same thing and who also has a keen interest in politics? So Lisa Van Susteren will be our guest today. Lisa is, as I said, a respected psychiatrist, and we'll get to her in just a minute. I got a couple of things I want to clean up with you. Because I've gotten more reaction to these topics than, or at least to this topic, and that is how to avoid the long line at the airport. Now, we explained to you that the TSA, which is the agency that does the security checks at the airports, if you are going through the airport, you will notice while you're standing in that line to get through, to get up to the person that checks your ID and your ticket, and then you go through and you got to take off your belt and your hat and all of that stuff, your shoes, and then if you're lucky, you get through that in maybe 20 or 25 minutes. But if you look over to your right or to your left, you will see something called TSA Pre, and that's the sign above it, and people are zipping through there, and they're not taking off anything. They don't take off their shoes. They don't take off their belts. They don't take off their hats, and they look just like you, and they are, for all intents and purposes, just like you, except for one thing. They have pre-registered with the TSA. Well, how do you do that? Well, we explained that last week and the week before. You actually have to go online and apply for this pre-registration. And then once you've done that, then you have to go to a nearby airport or TSA facility and be fingerprinted and questioned again. And then if you get through that, then what you have to do is pay $85 for the right to go through that line. Now, the $85, and this is, and I've said this and I'll say it again, it is not refundable. That is to say that if for some reason you don't make it through the pre-screening process, you lose the $85, okay? Now, the $85 will, if you are, if you do qualify, you're good for 5 years. For 5 years, you go to the airport and you go through the pre-TSA or the TSA pre. Now, by the way, what they do is whenever you apply for a ticket, either online or at a counter, they will send you a number, and that is your number. And when you buy a ticket, you give that number to the agent, and that becomes a part of your record. And that's how you pick up the pre-TSA notification on your ticket, which means that you can then go through the short line. You get it? And again, you don't get back the $85. Now, they're going to ask you questions like, have you ever been arrested or a felony and so on. So don't lie about that, because if you do, they're going to say, no, you don't make it, and you're going to lose your $85. But if everything goes well, you pay the $85 by credit, right, credit card or debit card, and you are then qualified for 5 years to be a TSA pre candidate, meaning you can get to the airport and go right through. I know a lot of you didn't know that. It doesn't seem to be very well publicized. And so we here doing our job on Radio America want you to know how it works. Okay. All right. Enough of that. Thanks for your – I know. I will probably get more. I've gotten more responses to this. And how do you do it? That's how you do it, folks. Go to the – go to TSA online, and from there follow the prompts and the directions. Now, let's turn back to our topic today. We know that Rubio dropped out of the race. Senator Rubio's dropped out of the race. And it's while it's not a two-man race for the Republicans, it certainly is close to Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. But also, the governor of Ohio is still in the race. And for some folks, he is the preferred choice. All of that's in front of us, and all of that are decisions that you will have to make. But what we want to talk about today is the psychology of all of this. How is it impacting you? What do you think? Is this unusual? I'm going to turn this over to a person who has the unique ability to give us some insight, and that's Dr. Lisa Van Susteren. She is hi, Doctor. Are you there?
I'm here.
Well, good. It's good to have you with us, and I'm very excited. Let me take a break, and when I come back, we'll get started with you and hear what you have to say about this, okay?
Terrific.
Okay. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. We're very pleased to be here on the Radio America Network, and we're very pleased to kind of take a swing here at the political process from a psychological point of view. I'm never going to tell you who to vote for, Democrat, Republican. That's your choice. And we just don't do that. But we do want you to think about how you feel about yourself. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
Have you ever seen a campaign like this? We have been through the last, 8 months of some of the most unusual politicking. I've been around for a few of these folks, and I have never, ever seen anything like this, and nor have you. So let's see how we are reacting to this in terms of attitude and what impact is it going to have on the decisions that we make or we will make here, where you will make in terms of who's going to lead this country. My guest is Dr. Lisa Van Susteren. She is a practicing psychiatrist. She is noted for in her field for her work, and we are very pleased to have you on the show. Hi, Dr. Lisa.
Well, I'm pleased to be here, Paul. It's always fun to talk with you. You know that.
Well, thank you very much. This is such a vast topic, and as I said, we shy away on this program from being political, or we don't jump into the politics. And I'm not so interested in that as I am interested in the impact of what is happening. From your perspective, I mean, you talk to patients, you talk to people. What are you hearing And then when you assess what you are hearing, what does it mean, Doc?
Okay. So I'm a physician, obviously, and one of the things that strikes me about this process is one of the things that I often complain about in medicine, and that is that we tend to look at symptoms as opposed to going upstream and finding out what's causing illness. So when I look at the political process today, it really looks to me like symptoms of dumb decisions that were made a while back. So the fact that we have a crazy atmosphere right now, and we do, and people are all saying that, is really the result of the decisions that were made upstream a while back. And we can talk about that, and it has to do, this is fortuitous, this is talking about money. A lot of it has to do with money and trust and aggression and all the rest. But what we have today is a great deal of polarization and a political process that seems that it has gone absolutely haywire. No control. Everything is a surprise. What we thought was up is down. What was left is right. So there we have it in a nutshell.
Well, that's okay. And I want you to talk about, to give us an idea of some of those suggestions. I'm going to take a break in a minute, and then we're going to get to that. Let me go to the end of the discussion. Are we going to be okay at the end of all of this?
Yeah, we're going to be okay, yes. Of course we are. We have a lot of checks and balances in our system, but we really, really do need to look at the behavioral changes, is what a doctor will tell you. We do need to look at some of the things that are causing our problems. And one of the things is the role of money in politics. Mm-hmm. And the other, and this is an offshoot of that, is the fact that because money has had such a disproportionate influence on politicians and policy, we don't trust people anymore.
Stop right there. Let me take a break. That's where we want to get to. That's what we're going to talk about. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My guest, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren. We'll be right back here on the Radio America Network. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors are the Defense Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association, and we thank them for their continued support of the program. If there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry, Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201, or you may contact me directly on my website at www.hffradio.com. Let me give that to you again. HFFradio.com. Okay, and I'll be glad to hear from you, and I'll get back to you. The Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. And go to militarysaves.org for more information, and you take the saver's pledge today. And as we always say, you don't have to be in the military to say everybody should be saving something. Everybody should be saving a little something every week, and we hope that you're going to do that. Now, my guest is Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, practicing psychiatrist, noted for her abilities in this very phenomenal field. And I've asked her to join us to kind of give us an overview of what she sees. If you will. And interestingly enough, we get to the issue of money. And if I heard you, Dr. Lisa, you said that money in politics is partly, if not completely, responsible for our situation today. Is that true?
It is a major factor in what is happening in the political scene today. First of all, and I can identify with, is that people really believe that their hard-earned money is not being spent wisely. And, you know, I can understand that. And they also feel that in the political process, that rich people and corporations are having a disproportionate say. So they feel that their voice and their vote really doesn't count. It's drowned out by all the money. So then you get a natural consequence to that, which is that people don't trust politicians, they don't trust the federal government, they don't trust, maybe they'll trust the people that are local officials because they're nearby, but otherwise there is this sense that we have been getting taking it on the chin for a long time, and along comes somebody like Donald Trump, and they aren't really so concerned so much about the particulars of his policies, which is why people who are pundits and others are up in arms, because the real issue is they feel at least they can trust him, that he's telling the truth, that he is saying it like it is, and that he will restore somehow the sense that there is no sort of tricks to policies, and that we won't have to continue to take it on the chin.
And let me just say, here's my disconnect with that, okay? I hear you. Now, you pointed out that people believe that the rich are getting away with whatever and, you know, and running the country and doing this and that. And yet, the person that we seem to turn to, and I say we as Americans, because vote, is a rich person. I mean, isn't there a disconnect?
But this is a very important point, is that when you go to vote for a person, it is very well known that you are looking for your better self, in a sense. Who would you be if you idealized yourself? You'd be rich, you'd be handsome, you'd be thin, you'd be tall, you'd be all these things. We know that height and a certain packaging is absolutely imperative for people to think highly of you. They look at Donald Trump, or people do, and there's a belief, there's an imagined sense that his riches could be mine. Now, this is unconscious, but we look at him and his success, and we think that's something he's going to bring to my country, therefore to me.
Interesting. So he is what we want to be, even if we don't necessarily like everything that he is. But
that is correct. Yep, got the gorgeous, sexy wife, he's got the gold-plated this, the big airplane, all the rest. There is this sense, when he says America's going to be great again, people get the feeling, yes, and then I can have some of this dream also. Now, this is a very unconscious thing, but we know that politicians' height is important. We know that their weight is important. These are all responsive to our need to have an idealized person in office, a person who represents the best of what we hope we could be, but are not. Obviously.
Fascinating. Dr. Lisa Van Susteren is my guest here on the Home and Family Finance. Interesting, isn't it? Yes, we're talking about you and the psyche as it relates to the candidates. We'll be right back with more.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
You know, the beauty of part of our country is that we really do have a say. All of us have a say in what happens. Your vote it will be counted. And how most of us vote will determine the next president of these United States. For many people right now, we've got the possibility of a first woman ever to be elected president of these United States. And we have the possibility of a millionaire, a billionaire, if you will, who says things like no more Muslims coming into town or Mexicans are raping. And people flock to him and love him. So what's the driving force here? Who's going to win here? And one of the things my guest, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, is talking about is the impact of money in the political process, which also determines other things and decisions that are made. And I think one of the things you talked about was the gerrymandering of this country. Is that a part of what role does that play?
Okay. So there are a couple of things, and I really believe the American people want a fair process. And I don't think that there is a perception right now that it is fair. And one of the reasons can be derived from a decision made by the Supreme Court a few years back that unleashed the possibility of corporations and other rich people injecting hundreds of millions of dollars into the process so that they now can support candidates, and we call this dark money. They don't have to put their name on the money. If they use and twist the rules a little bit, they can get away with supporting candidates with huge amounts of money. That is going to make a person mad. It makes me mad. And so that's one thing. That's Citizens United, and that's the role of money that feels like it's no longer one person, one vote. My vote doesn't seem so important when people can get on the airwaves and say bad things about a candidate and not even have to say who's saying it. It just makes you sour on the process. So now we even have a situation where 50% of the population doesn't vote. Well, that's probably one of the reasons. Okay, that's one issue. Mm-hmm. And the other issue, as you said, is gerrymandering, which is something that began a couple hundred years ago. And imagine this, if you're running for a student council and you got to pick who voted for you, rather than the voters picking you, you pick the voters. You went through the classrooms and decided who were the people that were going to be in the voting booth, and the ones that you thought that weren't going to work, you excluded. That's what gerrymandering is, drawing districts that favor your candidate. Republicans and Democrats do that. Until we end gerrymandering, and we have in seven states, we're going to continue to have politicians picking voters rather than voters picking politicians.
Do you think that the American psyche is aware of that? Do you think they're...
I don't. You know, we're busy. And I got to tell you, I've known about gerrymandering, but to see how really bad it is in anticipation of this show, you know, I did some research. And the reality is that I did it because of the show, and I'm very glad I did. I knew about it, knew it was a problem. But to see, to present these things to people, this is why I think the media is letting us down. Because I think that's the role of the media, not just to cover the drama and the bad words being used against each other, but to really take time to educate people so that we do have a shot at better understanding what's going on. I mean, people are busy. We have to get, dinner on the table and all the rest.
Right.
But this is the role of the media. And yeah. I find fault with the media for not doing things like this.
And one of the candidates openly criticizes the media, finds fault with the media in terms of how the media covers him and his campaign. Is that a valid concern? Because it does have an impact. If you criticize the message that I'm getting or the messenger, what impact does that have then on the message?
Well, it can sour some people, and it reinforces the belief that the country is run by elites. And on the other hand, for those people who are part of the power structure, the feeling is that they have been disenfranchised by the outspoken person who isn't following the rules, and they feel their power eroding. So essentially, it's all about who has power, how can you get it, how can you get your voice heard. So these kinds of things have both a reinforcing impact on some people and a chilling impact on someone else.
It occurs to me, too, here we have the leadership of the Republican Party, in this case, suggesting that they may not follow the choice of the people, that anybody but Trump, some of them are heading in that direction, and they're going, and we may be heading to a brokered convention where the power elite, if you will, in Washington will decide who will actually be the next Republican candidate. Is that dangerous?
Oh boy, that is really going to make people mad. Can you imagine? We already are going to this feeling like the country is run by people who don't care about people like me. They'll spend my money where they want to, how they want to, and if you tell them that their vote doesn't count now, their primary vote doesn't count in the selection of the nominee, boy, is that going to make people mad.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to bother people a
whole
lot.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely. Yep. And I guess the concern here is that we don't sour people. It's interesting that people are angry, but yet that anger seems to be driving them, both Republican and Democrat, to the election box.
Well, yes, and one of the problems is that we have become extremely polarized in our nation, and I've referred to Citizens United, which is the bowl of money, and I've referred to gerrymandering, where you actually pick your voter. So what is happening is that we are setting things up for people to mistrust each other and for people to have districts, for example, voting districts, that appeal only to their base.
Hold that thought. This is Dr. Lisa talking, Dr. Lisa Van Susten. We'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry.
My guest is Dr. Lisa Van Susten, a noted psychiatrist. We're talking about the psychiatric or the... I'm not quite sure how to phrase that, Lisa. I guess it's the psyche...
The psychological underpinnings of the political process.
Okay, that's what I was trying to say. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Let's go to diversity here. Look, we have a major candidate who says Muslims don't knock, don't come in. We have a president who says, or a candidate who says, Latinos, Mexicans. We're going to build a wall and go away. We have a candidate who seems to be able to say to people that he doesn't like, you go away. And yet he's being voted for by – is that a form of diversity? What's happening?
First of all, let's back up and say that historically, for the thousands of years that we have records, we have found that diverse cultures – when together, there's a wonderful sort of alchemy where ingenuity flourishes, people find solutions, and it's really when there's a village of people with different skills, countless studies show this, that we do best when we listen to each other. And unfortunately, that is not happening right now. The diversity of our great country, which has always made it so wonderful, is being used to polarize each other, to say, you are outside, I am an insider. And once you get that we-them mentality, that's when you get the saber rattling and the aggression that is so destructive. And where we are right now is in this phase of deep aggression towards the other, insider, outsider, and anybody who's not with me is against me and is bad. And it's China, it's Mexico, it's demonizing people that we don't know because of fears that have been fanned.
And here's what I also find interesting is that most, well, I can't say most Americans, many Americans, including myself, kind of feel like, well, he's saying that stuff, but he doesn't really believe that. That's not what he really believes. It's just a matter of kind of rhetoric that will go away, and he, or in this case, Ted Cruz, or for that matter, on the Democratic side, they're really all going to be okay. They're all great Americans.
Okay, well, let me comment on that. That may be so. And maybe it's not true. There's really no way for us to know from this vantage whether the rhetoric will grow and become more threatening or whether good judgment will prevail. That's really not something that we can know from here. And one of the things about looking at politicians that enables us to assess them is we look at their records, see how they have performed in political arenas before, and then we can say the past is prologue, this is how he or she did it before, this is what we can expect in the future. With a person who's been untested, there's obviously enormous amount of uncertainty because we don't have a track record. So that's one of the issues that is in play here. We can't predict. Is it going to get worse? Is it going to get better? Is it going to be okay? We just don't know.
Yeah, we don't know, and that's an interesting, and that's probably part of the danger here. that we're risking if we're not careful. You know, we're risking the future because we don't know where we're headed here.
And that, well, there's a saying too that one of my favorite sayings is that if we're not careful, we're going to end up where we're headed. But I just want to address also one other thing, and that is the political process generally, which is so dismaying to me. When I think to myself of the wonderful opportunities that we have to serve our country and to serve the soaring sense of patriotism that we have, this is one heck of a fabulous country. Tell me who doesn't want to come here. Everybody does. But here's the issue, and that is that when there's so much aggression in the political arena, so much emphasis on having to raise money, what happens is that good people shy away from running for office.
Right.
They don't want to deal with it. So what happens is that the best sometimes people who really could be a wonderful asset to the fabric of our decision-making as the decades unfold are not going to get into it. And that's the thing that upsets me the most, because we're spoiling the pool and the pipeline by making it seem so unpleasant.
And the bottom line, folks, is you say, well, what has this got to do with finance? Everything. The person that you put into office, the persons that you elect, will make decisions about your pocketbook. They're the ones that are going to decide how money is spent in this country, what programs we support and which ones we don't, whether it's health care or whether it's infrastructure. They make those decisions, don't they, Dr. Lisa?
They certainly do, and bad decisions are exceedingly costly.
Boy, is that ever true? Bad decisions are exceedingly costly. Well, obviously, we are we're still weeks away from where we are ultimately headed here. What do you see? What do you see? Well, let me ask it another way. For my listener who's sitting out there, he said, "How do I make sure that I'm making the right decision?" Whether it's Democrat or Republican, what do I have to do? How do I check myself to make sure that I'm an informed, smart voter making the right decision?
I think the most, obviously, if you're the kind of person who looks at policy, but that's kind of a wonky place that a lot of us don't go to, don't have the time for, I would try to assess character. And that ahead of everything else, because after all, that's what's going to emerge when a person is stressed out, when decisions have to be made quickly, when things are risky. It's character. So when we look at the person to vote for and we try to assess what that person will be like, what we have to say is, what is the impact of this person on the people around him or her, family, friends, community? What is the reputation this person has? Is this a person who can heal people?
Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, my guest, will be right back. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, here on the Radio America Network. I am so pleased to have you with us as we go through this process, this particular process of analyzing you with the person who is qualified to do that. Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, a noted psychiatrist, practicing psychiatrist in the greater Washington area. You can go to her website and find out all the tremendous things that she has done in her life, including you ran for office. So you do know what it takes and what's involved here, Lisa.
I sure do. I am honored to have had the opportunity to run for office. I can tell you it ain't easy. And there are many decisions that you have to make that have to represent what you feel might be on the margins a compromise.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is, we were talking about, what are we looking for in our politicians? We're also looking for people who have the flexibility to listen to others, who can compromise. But we have to make it easier for politicians, too. We have to get this mad dash for money out of the picture so that people can spend their time doing what they really need to do, which is to reach out to the people that are voting for them, to listen to their concerns, to hear the other side of a story so that they aren't just running on what is their bias.
Mm-hmm.
And until we make make it easier to run for office. And until we cast the characters who are more open and compromising and radiate a sense of community and healing and togetherness, we're going to continue to have these kinds of very problems in our political process that really, I think, is a disservice to the great country that we live in. I'm sure we'll correct these things. It's not the first time, but we do have to roll up our sleeves.
Yeah, and I think despite, if I hear you, what you're saying, despite the gerrymandering, despite the money, despite the polarized positions, that we as voting, as the voters here, we as the people that will make the decisions, we have to get down to the old-fashioned business of listening closely and analyzing the person and finding out what they really stand for. In other words, for the voter, it's always the same. Make sure you know who you're voting for. Make sure you know what you should know about the person.
Yes, and we need to evaluate the person's character. We want somebody strong, but not necessarily someone aggressive. What we want are people who listen, whom we would like our children to be close to, who would model their own behaviors after that candidate. This, after all, is a person who has to work on a world stage, lots of personalities, and we want to look at those people who best represent what we think are the noblest attributes of the species. And so that's a real concern, I think, going forward. And understand that emotion is one thing, but a real cold, hard look at how the person affects others is a really substantial issue to consider.
And is there a part in all of us, we've heard in this instance, and we're certainly not picking on Mr. Trump, we heard him say some pretty hard things that unfortunately many of us I can identify with. We might say it privately, we'd never say it publicly. So
that's totally normal. Yes, we all have feelings and emotions and get mad about stuff. And when he says certain things, and there's a part of all of us that says that's absolute right on, right on. But I'll tell you, Paul, every time I've absolutely lost my temper and said exactly what I thought, I have to tell you, I can think of a couple of times outside of my family where I don't regret it so much. But with other people, I turn around and I regret it because it turns out that I did more damage. I certainly answered a need, but I did more damage. So the emotion is fine, but that's not what works to bring people together is the problem. So it's satisfying, but I don't think it's a great process to bring people together, and that's what we need.
And that's a quality that we have to look for in the person that we decide who will be the leader of the free world. I mean, that's the bottom line. Yeah, yeah. Well, I asked you that question when we started this. Are we going to be okay? Ultimately, we're going to make the. And you seem to think that that ultimately the American spirit will prevail and we will make the right decision.
Look, Paul, democracy is messy. It's always been messy. It's not a good form of government, but as Winston Churchill said, it's the best one we got. And if I look around, everybody wants to come here. Because why? Because you and I can sit on the phone like this, talk on the radio, and say exactly what we're thinking. And we don't have to be fearful of anything. This is a wonderful country to be in. Do we have flaws? Who doesn't? Everybody does. But I'm very happy to be an American. I'm very proud to be an American. And I'm assuming your listeners share that sentiment with me.
Wonderfully said, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, and we are very proud of you, and thank you for joining us here on Home and Family Finance. Okay, folks, it's up to you. It will be up to you. You make the right choice based on what's in your heart. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, looking for you then.